the resurrection. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. The men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondered what had happened. Pray for you, Simon, as well.
Thank you.
Come up. Yeah, Father God, on this day, we remember who you are and the sacrifice you made for us. And I thank you for Simon and that he's bringing your word today. I pray that you will speak through him and speak to us on this powerful Resurrection Sunday.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I want to be able to move around a little bit. Well, it's good to see you. If I told you today that a friend of mine died 3 days ago and he's currently having breakfast out in the foyer, you probably wouldn't say, "Thanks, Simon, that is inspirational." You might just think I'm slightly mad, slightly needing of help, and you would call for that help. But that's the reality, isn't it? The resurrection is the most extreme claim in human history. It's either the greatest hoax that has ever been played out, or it's the most important fact of life. There is no middle ground. You can't be polite about a resurrected king. You can only ignore him or follow him. Everyone who encountered the empty tomb that day had to make a choice. They couldn't just say, "That's nice." They had to investigate. They flee in fear. They fall down in worship. Today, we face the same choice. How are we going to respond? Is this a myth that we can admire, or a reality that demands a response? So let's think about how the people, the main characters in the Bible, did respond. The women wondered about the empty tomb. First of all, they saw the empty tomb and they wondered about the empty tomb. And then they saw that the men appeared in bright clothes, shone like lightning, and they bowed down in fear. So they've been wondering, then they were fear. In Mark's gospel, when he talks about this, he says the women were amazed. Another good response. As we've just read, 10 of the disciples, first of all, thought it was nonsense. It was something that they couldn't believe. Peter went to the tomb and he wondered what he had seen. If we look in John's gospel and how John talks about the resurrection, we see John, who ran to the tomb, he looked in, and but Peter looked into the tomb and believed. He didn't just wonder, but he believed. Mary is upset at the tomb. She's crying. She thinks the gardener has stolen the body when she sees the empty tomb. Mary's there and she says, please, if you've taken the body, can you tell me where you've put him? Because she's wondering what's happened. And then she realizes the gardener. As it says, Mary turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, Mary said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them. And so she went to her brothers and said, I have seen the Lord. Yeah, Mary responds with fear and then belief. In John's gospel, he talks about Thomas, because all the friends of Jesus were there that Sunday evening, and Jesus comes and meets with them, but Thomas isn't there. So when Thomas comes home and all the other disciples said, we've seen Jesus, he goes, I'm not so sure. I can't believe that. I've got doubts about this. And so Thomas responded with doubt. So people respond to the resurrection in the Bible stories in different ways. Fear, amazement, interest, doubt, and faith. So do we have to respond? Do I have to respond? Always think back to, you know, those familiar words, I'm sure, to many of us, that C.S. Lewis said, the author of Narnia, when he said a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher, a good man. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. And I think that's the reality. We need to make a choice. We need to make a choice. If the resurrection of Jesus is true, if it's something that I choose to believe in, then I need to respond. Or I need to be passionate in stopping the lies being told all around the world. Yeah, because this is either a hoax that needs to be stopped, or it's something true. But why is the resurrection important? The resurrection shows that the love demonstrated at Calvary when Jesus died was not a tragedy, but a triumph. Because the resurrection, I think, it's a demonstration of God's love. Yeah, it's a demonstration of God's love. In Paul, when he was writing to the church in Rome, said, God demonstrates his own love for us like this. While we were still sinners, people who do things wrong, people who put themselves first rather than others or God first, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't wait until we were good enough and then go, I'll show you my love. God demonstrated his love for us whilst we were still sinners. In Philippians, another book a letter that Paul wrote, he said he recognized that his great desire was to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Yeah, that power, in a way, that power of love that was going to change him, that power of love that was going to make him someone completely different. He wanted to know the power of the resurrection. The demonstration of God's love, because it defeated death. Yeah, he loves us so much that he wants us not to fear death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we know, because of the resurrection, if this is something we're going to believe in, we know that death has been beaten. Death is not the end. God has won the victory. Where, oh death, is your sting? It's been beaten. It's been conquered because Jesus is alive. Yet the resurrection demonstrates how much God loves for us. The resurrection addresses the problem of sin and shame. Yeah, Cameron talked about that courtroom. Yes, he felt like the judge was God and he was being good, but a courtroom is still a scary place. And how good that Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, invites us into a banquet hall, into a place that is close to God. And it's not the fear of a courtroom, but the love of a banquet hall, the welcome of a banquet hall. Jesus wants to deal with our shame. Yeah, because when you're in court, there's probably that idea of shame. And when you know you're guilty, yeah, there's that shame. In Hebrews 12, it says, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. Yeah, taking on its shame, living its shame, experiencing that shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. He dealt with our shame. So we don't have to. We can be free because Jesus has taken our shame. In Isaiah, back in the Old Testament, he says, the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. Yeah, he was foretelling what Jesus would do, removing our disgrace. Yeah, because of the resurrection, no shame. Removing our disgrace. Removing that fear of death. God loves us. God deals with our sin and our shame. God opens the door to a new life. The resurrection, it opens the door to a new life. Yet this isn't just a life on earth. This is life eternal, because Jesus demonstrated eternal life. It doesn't end with death. Because of his great love for us, he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. These great words in Ephesians 2, my favorite words really, or favorite passage in the Bible. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Yeah, once you were like that, you were dead. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Yeah, we're not that great people. We live in all sorts of ways. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, so he doesn't give us what we do deserve, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. The resurrection says you are alive in Christ, no longer dead. You have that mercy. Don't get what you deserve. And it is by grace you've been saved. We get what we don't deserve. God's grace is great. We have a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Yeah, a new birth into a living hope. That's what Peter said. The bloke who went to the tomb and wondered, the bloke who went to the tomb and believed. He said we can experience a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul again says, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone belongs to Christ and believes in Christ, the new creation has come. That's what Cameron told us about, the new creation that has been born in him. The old has gone, the new is here. Yeah, the resurrection makes a massive difference. It demonstrates love. It deals with our shame. It means that we have a new life and a new relationship with God. As Jesus said to Mary at that tomb, go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The resurrection invites us into a relationship with God as our Father, as our God. And the writer to Hebrews says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Because of the resurrection, we can approach God's throne with confidence so that we might find mercy and find grace. Yeah, mercy and grace. Romans 6 perhaps sums all this up in one verse there. Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Yeah, because of the resurrection, we may live a new life. But you might be thinking, that all sounds good, but can I believe in the resurrection? Is it something I can believe in? The tomb was empty, wasn't it? The tomb was empty. The Bible tells us that the tomb was empty. Authorities have always said the tomb was empty. They've never found a tomb. They've never produced a body. The tomb had been emptied. Something had happened to this body. We know that Jesus had died. The Romans were good at killing people, and they had successfully killed him. So Jesus was in this tomb, and then he wasn't in this tomb. So what had happened? Robbers had stolen it? Well, unlikely. The one thing left in the tomb was the folded grave clothes. And grave robbers don't normally take time to fold grave clothes. For one thing, they're the only expensive thing in the grave. Yeah, so why were the grave clothes there and folded? This wasn't a robbery. This was a calm and powerful resurrection. The authorities suggested that perhaps it was the disciples who stole the body. But the tomb was guarded. The disciples were terrified. They were hiding. But more than this, the disciples' lives were totally changed. Yeah, totally changed. They all went to their death saying, Jesus is alive. Hundreds of people saw Jesus alive. When the Gospels were written, people could have said, no, that's not true. But they didn't, because so many people knew it, then they had seen it with their own eyes, seen Jesus with their own eyes. The evidence seems to suggest that the resurrection is not a hoax, but it's a fact. And so it ceases to just be a topic that we need to discuss. And perhaps the final important question is whether the stone was moved from the... the question isn't whether the stone is moved from the grave, but whether our hearts are moved to the King. Because the people who responded in the Bible their responses soon changed. And I think it's good to know that we can come to Jesus through different responses. For those who were amazed, and it might be this morning, you're amazed perhaps when Cameron has his bath in public, you'll be amazed. What is going on? And you'll be amazed. And that's a brilliant starting point, to be amazed, to be excited, to see how good things are, and then begin to think, what does that mean? What was behind that amazement? That was what some of the disciples, or some of the friends of Jesus, yeah, they were amazed, but then they discovered the truth. Those who wondered, those who were interested, those who said, oh, I wonder what this is about, they began to explore. They began to engage until they discovered truth. It is always good to ask questions. It is always so good to keep inquiring. It's one reason why people who come to church and believe and get baptized keep coming to church, because there's always more questions. There's always more things to discover. There's always more. There's always more. Yeah, it's always good to wonder. Some people were fearful, and we can come to God with our fear. Yeah, with our fear. If you're fearful today, you can think, yeah, I can come to God. I don't need to get over my fear. I can come to God with my fear, because he will help us in that fear. He will assure us that he is with us. He is assure us that he will never let us go. Yeah, we can come to him in that fear. Perhaps you have got lots of doubts. And I love the fact that we can come to God with our doubts. We don't need to have it all sorted, all figured out. We just need enough. I love that for the disciples, there's a great phrase at the end of Matthew's gospel, where all the disciples are gathered. They've been with Jesus for 3 years. He had risen. They had then been with him for 40 days after he had risen from the dead. They had spoken to him loads. They went out to worship, and it said they were worshiping, but some doubted. Really? But they still went off and told people about Jesus. Yeah, because we all have doubts on occasions, but that shouldn't stop us responding to God, because his love for us is so sure. His love for us is so true. Yeah, because those who had faith became courageous. They became, they were willing to tell others to risk imprisonment, beating, persecution, and death. They weren't sorted. They didn't have it all figured out. But they knew who Jesus was. They knew what their response to the resurrection had to be. Their response had to be, I'm going to live this out. I'm going to follow Jesus. Like Cameron said, this is the beginning of a journey. This is the beginning of a journey. He's not at the end. He's at the beginning of a journey. And that's the response. The response to the resurrection. So really, I just want to finish off by saying, what is your response? Hopefully you'll have seen that disinterest is not a good response. Yeah, it doesn't deal with the reality of the resurrection or the big hoax it is. But what is your response? I believe that the resurrection did happen, that there is a problem with sin and shame, and that God dealt with it. I believe that the resurrection demonstrates and proves how much God loves me. I believe that it means I can experience new life, a new relationship with God. What is your response? What is your response? In a moment we'll sing, perhaps the band can come back. And I invite you to stand. If you're able, please stand together. I think if we're going to respond in whatever way, it's good to say that this is important. The risen Lord Jesus is alive today. John, who ran to the tomb, was the only disciple that lived a long time. He was exiled on the island of Patmos, and he wrote a book called Revelation. And in that writing, he saw an image of Jesus. He wrote of how we have a doorway to our own lives, and we have an opportunity to be in this new relationship with God. Jesus will never force his way in. He will never say, I've got to come in, I'm going to break in. But he invites us to open the door. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me. So what is your response to the resurrection? Do you admit the bad stuff in your own life? Recognize you're not worthy for Jesus to come in, but his mercy has been poured into your life. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead? And he's alive today. Do you choose to open the door? Lord Jesus, we admit that on our own feels like we're lost and hurting and in pain. We've caused pain. We've done so much. We admit that, Lord. Lord, we choose to believe in who you are. We choose to believe in your death and your resurrection. And we choose to open that door. Choose to say, Jesus, come on in. Start a new life in me. Start a new relationship with God in me. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. That you come in. We will sing a song that says, I will offer up my life. I'll offer up my life. If this is something that you want to do, that you have done, you've responded in, as I prayed, you said, yes, that's the prayer I want to make, then perhaps just sing these words with meaning for the first time. I will offer up my life. And as Cameron has discovered this and he's going through baptism, perhaps some of you are thinking, yes, I want to do that. I want to do that. And it may be you're thinking, yeah, I need to talk with Sue or Simon, and it will be in a few weeks' time. Or it may be you're thinking, yeah, I've made that prayer. I've made that prayer, and I... what's to stop me getting baptized today? But Lord, more than that, we just say, if you've made that prayer, please sing this song. And then perhaps, before you leave today, tell someone. Tell someone that, yeah, you trust in Jesus. Your response to the empty tomb is to say, I believe. I believe. And I choose to open the door.